comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right.
It's a little bit after 4 p.m. here on KDNK. I am Will, editor of the Soper Sun, here with a half an hour kind of news show, Everything Under the Sun, where we're going to chat about what's in this week's paper. Here with me in the studio is Megan Tackett, our intrepid reporter.
Hola, hola. Intrepid, I love it.
It's better than cub, right? That's what they used to call me. And Samuel Bernal. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Cool. Who is a radio host himself and would be more qualified than me to be doing this, but we're keeping
not in English.
Keeping things in row. And also just a prominent member of the Spanish-speaking community around here, and is specifically here to chat with us about Festival Las Americas, which he is heavily involved with. But anything else he wants to bring up, we're open to. This is, by the way, a call-in show, so if you guys have questions of any of the three of us or comments or concerns, feel free to give us a call, 963-2976. So without further ado, I'm turning it over to you two. Megan, you wrote the story. This is kind of your introduction to Festival Las Americas, what you find out, and how'd you get connected with Sam?
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised. My tenure here in this valley is me finding out about a cool festival that is benefiting a larger, more awesome cause. So I love our propensity to party for something bigger and better. And this is no different. Festival Las Americas is this Friday.
Good.
My understanding is that it's the 16th year, but only the second that it's been in May instead of later in the summer, right?
Yes, it used to be always in August. So the last year, we thought it would be a good idea to make it on Cinco de Mayo, because last year it was going to be a Friday on Cinco de Mayo, so we could have like the first Friday thing that happens in Carbondale, because it's always at the Surprise Park, and it was going to be Cinco de Mayo, which a lot of people know that date, and so we thought that we could have more diversity, because part of the goals for the festival is to have like America, you know, all the continent integrated as much as possible. So with the world, Cinco de Mayo is already a celebration that brings a lot of Anglo people and different Latino communities. So that's what we did the last year for the first time. And this year, we didn't want to do it on Cinco because it's going to be Saturday and there are a lot of graduations. So we thought it would be a good idea to do it again on Friday, for first Friday. Mm. And close to Cinco de Mayo.
Well, and I think that's so great. One of my favorite things about learning about this festival is all of my friends that are from Spanish-speaking areas, they always tell me, they're like, oh, you Americans from the United States, you always try to claim all of America. And that's not true. There's Sudamerica, there's Central America, there's Norte America. Right. And the whole spirit of this is kind of combining that. And I love when you mentioned that marriage between First Friday and Cinco de Mayo really being an opportunity to bring together Anglo and Latino communities. Yes. Because the scholarships, that is really the bigger purpose behind all this, that's not limited to Latinos, correct?
Correct. No, it's not. Big part of it goes to immigrants or first generation immigrants, but it's open. But the students that get the scholarships are from everywhere. So it's a great way to get the funds, doing a party that integrates as much people as possible, and then to give those scholarships also to a diversity of students.
Yeah. Well, and I love the diversity even represented in the planning committees. I couldn't quite pinpoint all of the accents, but there's definitely English speakers and Spanish speakers, of course. And where is there somebody?
Like Klaus is not one of those two.
Exactly, exactly. So I loved that. There's like truly a diverse background coming together to create an event that truly celebrates diversity. And I love that.
Yes, and we try to do that with the entertainment too. So tomorrow there will be music from, will be rock en español. And this is with the band Centro Sur, and the members are from, actually they're called Centro Sur because they're from Central America and South America, and they play rock in Spanish, and after that we have Ipuro Norte, which is a Mexican regional local band, and they play music from the north of Mexico. And then we will have from Denver Tropical Caoba, and they play cumbia, which is a, you know, it's a music that gets basically all the Latin people together because we all like to dance that.
That's mm-hmm. fantastic. And you were sort of the ringleader in that regard, correct?
In what?
In terms of getting together the entertainment and finding the grupos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And so we try to make also as local as possible. So that's why we are having those local bands and the one from Denver. And it also helps us to keep the cost low because, you know, the main purpose of the festival is to get as much money as possible.
Sure.
For the scholarships.
Yeah, yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of the festival and the partnership with CMC and how mm-hmm. that all came about?
Yes. CMC, actually, it's like a circle because they are one of the main sponsors, and the money for the scholarships is also for students from high school that go to CMC. And the festival has been happening, as you say, like for 16 years. And in every festival, there's the awards, the Jackie.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And tomorrow, Jackie Morales.
Jackie
right?
Morales yes. Award. And tomorrow is going to be a very special day because one of the persons that will be awarded will be Hania Gotardo, who died months
March,
ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it will be also very special for the community because she was a great member of the community. She did a lot for this valley. And so it's one of the very special things we'll have tomorrow.
And that's the first posthumous award that Rotary has ever awarded. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. amazing. Yeah.
You know, I'm curious, actually, just for listeners mm-hmm. who are starting to get excited about this event, what time does it start? What time is it over? When's the sort of mm-hmm. when's the moment to get there and catch the live music?
Yeah, we officially we start at noon, and there will be DJ music with DJ Scratch, and then at 3:30 the live music starts with a rock and Espanol band. They will play from 3:30 to 4:30, and then it comes the Mexican regional band, that is Ipuro Norte. They will play from 4:30 to 5:30, 6-ish, and then there will be the Jackie Morales Awards, and then 6:30, there will be the cumbia with Tropical Caoba from 6:30 to dusk, to about 8 p.m. or maybe a little bit later. We've seen that the festival starts getting really hot about 4 p.m., 5 p.m. That is when most of people is mm-hmm. out from work, and it's when they are there. So 4 p.m. is a great moment to get there and to enjoy the live music. There will be tacos. There will be margaritas, beer.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And this is just down the street from the family block party, which also starts at 4. You did this last year. Did you mm-hmm. see a lot of sort of mixing between the folks who went maybe primarily for the block party and the folks who went primarily for the festival, kind of going back and forth and hanging out?
Yes, a lot of people were there because of First Friday, and they saw there was something for Cinco de Mayo, and they were there, and so it was a lot of different communities mixed in the same event, and it's also a lot of family because we have a area for kids, and all the it's free; you don't have to pay to be in the festival.
Which is thanks to the sponsors, right? A couple of years ago, that wasn't true.
Yes, exactly. We used to charge for the cover, and now it's a free entrance, and it's because of the money that the sponsors.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Why do you see it as important to get people together, to provide that sort of integrated mm-hmm. event in Carbondale?
Yeah, first, because of that sense of belonging. When you belong to a place, then you celebrate. You have it's like a family. You have celebrations, and the more activities you have together as a community, it gives you a better bridge for integration. So one of them is that it's a moment to celebrate together. It's a moment to do something for your community, in this case for the scholarships, but in a fun way. And just to have fun with as much diverse people as possible.
Okay. Do you think that somebody with no Spanish whatsoever could go in there, probably get themselves some food and be okay?
Yeah. The only language they need to know is margarita and cerveza, por favor. You know, then last year was really, really a good time. And I don't know, it's one of the best parties I've been in the Valley. You could feel that integration and that people just having a good time. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I really appreciated that. At one point when I was lucky enough to sit on at lunch at Tequila's with some of the planning committee, I asked them, I was like, you know, what's your most favorite aspect of this? Why do you put in? Because the people who do this, they've been doing this for years. Mm-hmm. And across the board, I just kept hearing, you see families, you see multi-generations, mm-hmm. and they're all playing and they're all having fun together. And you see people, you know, speaking in both Spanish and English together as friends. Mm-hmm. And that was really special. And yes. I'm looking forward to it as a first-timer.
Thank you very much. And thank you for giving us this space to promote it too. Thank you so much. And for the paper.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, it's been an event that has kind of been on my radar for a long time, just living downtown, and mm-hmm. oh my, where's all this music coming from? I haven't heard anything about this, and wandering over, and there's a massive party going on in Soper's Park, and mm-hmm. as a kid, it meant snow cones. You know, that was perfect for me, but you know, it seems like it flies under the radar. It sneaks up on folks, and we don't want that to happen. We want people to be prepared to do everything, you know, everything out there. There's a lot happening on Friday.
Yes.
The first Friday thing is big. There's every, you know, you can go to a drum circle and then you can get a margarita and then you can go hit your friends with a pillow, you know, like there's some variety to mm-hmm. be,
yes,
to be absolutely. Enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to add about this event or that you feel people might?
Well, just that we expect to have as many people as possible tomorrow. Everybody is welcome, and bring your family, bring your friends. The more people you bring, the more students that eventually can get a scholarship, because, you know, we want to honor the sponsors. And so just for having fun tomorrow, you are collaborating to making that happen.
It's great how that works. Just for folks just tuning in, this is KD&K, commercial-free since 1983. Underwriting on KD&K is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KD&K's reasonable underwriting packages. Email Greg at KD&K.org. You're listening to Everything Under the Sun. We're about halfway through our half hour of news and discussion about the Soper Sun. You're welcome to call in if you have any questions or comments or concerns, 963-2976. If you don't mind, Sam, we might chat a little bit about other things in the paper. You've had a chance to leaf through that. Anything strike you? Anything of interest in the paper to an outsider?
Just checking it right now, and so I would like to listen to you.
Okay, Megan, your other big story this week is going down tonight, and I believe there's some interviewing already happening on KD&K about this. But give us just a brief lowdown on the big event this evening.
Yeah, this evening, doors open at 6:45 for a screening of Surkab. And Samtan, I am so sorry if I mispronounced that. My Hindi isn't existent, actually. But it's really neat. There's a 7 p.m. screening of a movie at the Crystal Theater. And proceeds benefit Way of Compassion, which is our neighbor in the 3rd Street Center. They've got a future endeavor that they're calling Compassion Fest. It's going to run in August. So all the proceeds tonight benefit creating this inaugural event that, you know, hopefully is going to go on and on in the years ahead. What I found so fun about it, and Will, you obviously were the one who told me about it and put it on my radar, so we agree on this, is the person behind it. The Venerable Santem is, she's got such a fun story. She is a very, very accomplished Bollywood actress. She's got more than 20 TV shows in her credits, 3 leading roles in movies, was a former Miss India finalist in 1994, I believe, and now she's an ordained Buddhist nun. And I am so honored and had so much fun getting a chance to speak with her one-on-one about her endeavor. It is her final film, so it's special in a lot of ways. And it was also, it's her final film on screen and also the first and last film she ever produced. It's not autobiographical, which is what I kind of came into the situation thinking. It's a different story that she kind of helped cultivate. Talks about some illegal immigration issues, some human trafficking issues, just some big human issues through the lens of a woman. And I really enjoyed speaking to her about that because she has a unique perspective, being a woman as an ordained Buddhist nun living in a monastery that's traditionally, you know, completely populated by monks who are, of course, traditionally men. And so it was a lot of fun talking to her. She was hilarious. That was what caught me off guard so much.
There was a lot of giggling in the room next door during that. We decided they were having far too much fun for being on the clock.
Yeah, so, she did. She commanded that. I don't know what I was expecting, but she commanded the kind of presence that I guess I was hoping for and expecting, and yet she's human like the rest of us, and hilarious, and down to earth, and, you know, really able to talk about some of the Buddhist dharmic philosophies like impermanence and, you know, just constantly evolving, but doing so in such a relatable way. Talking about, you know, I loved when she was talking about when she shaved her head and how traditionally that's such a just full of reverence kind of ceremony with a lot of prayer, and she didn't have the time nor the luxury for that. So she's getting this her head shaved so quickly, and it's like ow, ow, ow. And of course her hair was part of her image as an actress, and then she looks in the mirror and realizes, okay, this is it. And it was that external change that really brought to light that she had arrived. And then of course later what happens online, but she's listed in a top five basically hot actresses that embraced the fad of shaving your head. She's like, no, that's not what this was about. It had nothing to do with vanity, ladies. This isn't right. But, you know, she, because of who she was susceptible to that kind of positioning. And, you know, she just had such a good sense of humor about it. And I really enjoyed that. And I'm so looking forward to her movie and her talk afterward in the Callaway Room at the Third Street Center, where she'll talk a little bit more about her journey.
Great. So in the process of kind of unraveling that particular story, you also had a chance to sort of clarify the relationship between the Way of Compassion and the Mindful Life Program, which, you know, kind of bracket us their neighbors on both sides. Just for the folks who might have been confused at this point, maybe saw the Way of Compassion bike project story a couple weeks back. I'm wondering what these people are up to. Clarify that for them.
Sure. Yeah, I like to think that we have a pretty zen-filled newsroom, given our neighbors and how we're positioned. It was interesting. I actually did need to ask specifically and get some clarification. And Laura Bartels, the executive director of the Mindful Life Program, you know, kind of laughed about it. She's like, well, of course you're confused. It's all the same people. And yet it's technically two completely separate entities doing different, although complementary work. Way of Compassion is the nonprofit entity that John Bruna founded. And now Aaron, last name,
Taylor,
yes. Okay. Aaron Taylor directs. And they're the nonprofit arm that they have the Dharma Center, that Somten has actually been their teacher every Wednesday evening virtually in kind of a two-way stream. She can see the room and it's in real time. They're the ones hosting her in this month-long residency. They're the ones that are sponsoring the bicycle program and this evening screening at Crystal Theater to do the Compassion Fest. Meanwhile, on the flip side, John Bruno was also a co-founder of Mindful Life Program, which is a for-profit organization that's doing a lot of really cool stuff as well. They train in mindful programs that isn't as based in the religious component, but more just a sense of centeredness in increasing self-awareness and intentional existence, essentially. And they are growing rapidly. They are working pretty famously by now with the Picken County Sheriff's Office. I know AP picked up that story from the Aspen Times, and just they're in the middle of this 8-week, 20-hour course that they're working with 16 different employees through the Sheriff's Office, saying, listen, you're on the front line. You're high stress. Let's prevent burnout. Let's increase sustainability. Let's increase a sense of humanness and commonality when we're approaching any situation. And that is not limited to the police department. She's worked with the RE1 school district, and they're looking at what that's going to look like next year. They're working with several recovery programs. Jay Walker here in Carbondale is actually the first kind of certified mindful recovery program. And that's amazing and near and and dear to John's heart as well. So there's just a lot on the horizon, and they're juggling a lot, but they seem to be doing so well.
Well, you know, I think that's kind of par for the course in this valley. Not necessarily that they're not going above and beyond, but it seems like everybody's got their hands in everything. Samuel, you're, for instance, not part of Club Rotario anymore, technically, but the Festival of Las Americas, it's a big Club Rotario event, right?
Yes.
So I'm curious, let me bring that back to you. What's your experience? I mean, what are you involved in, and what do you find yourself just, do you feel like you have one role, or do you feel like you're putting on a different hat every day?
Oh, like a different, I could say different hats, but the same shirt that you have, right? Like, you have one mission that is to be, to make something better in the community in the way you can, and you do it through different ways with different organizations, and at the end of the day, the same goal, but with different projects, and you know, you try to do sometimes as much as possible with you, and you cannot do as much as you would like to, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what would you say is your sort of core goal there? How would you like to see the community improved?
The community,
what are you hoping to accomplish with all of those things, with all of the many things you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
What would be a sort of tangible change?
I think to integrate more the Latino community, which is the community I work for the most, because it's a long road to get that understanding in different cultures, and so we try to be a bridge between those cultures, and because, you know, a big part of our community, they're very busy in the works they are doing, because it's when you are a new immigrant, you're trying to catch up with a lot of stuff that maybe families that have been here for a longer time, they're already more settled down with that. And so part of our goal is to get them
up to speed, kind of,
right? There are different things to do, but one of them is to help them to catch up at least with the most basic information about this valley, and it's a process that I think it's very, like, how can I tell you, like, at the same time that I'm learning myself, because I'm a new immigrant too, I'm learning about anything about this valley and this culture, I can share it as a communicator. So whatever I learn for myself and for my family is something you can share with the community, and so you don't have any time to waste, because anything you can share and is what helps us to understand more, because I think the more you know something is the less afraid you are about that.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So other than just going to the Festival Las Americas, which is, you know, great, easy way to start out, what can listeners, readers, newspapers do to help with that process?
Oh, I have always said that we live in a very friendly valley. We are very lucky to be here, because the immigrant community get a lot of support from all the media here and a lot of organizations. And as you can see, you are one of them. And I really appreciate that you have always the eye on what is happening with us. And it makes us feel welcome, and it makes us feel really part of it. And so
that's great to hear it. It doesn't hurt that we have a fairly bilingual or partially bilingual reporter on staff.
Raleigh, if you're listening to this, I'm going to recruit you to help me a little bit more.
And some board members who get there as well.
Yes, absolutely. Out of curiosity, Sam, when you are sharing information, right, about, you know, what have you learned, what is helping you about this valley, and it is a unique valley, what tangibles, what are you sharing to help somebody? It's certainly got to be beyond just the language, right, or working the jobs to make ends meet in kind of an expensive valley. What do you find yourself telling people about how to make it here?
It's first, I think it's a very it's a perspective with a lot of hope, with a lot of prosperity, because it's a valley that I see. First, in terms of culture, it's a very cultural valley. And I love that, and I think people appreciate that. Like, we have, for example, one of the projects we work very close to it with the Aspen Art Museum, and we've seen something that I had never seen in another place. I come from Mexico City, and even if we have big museums there, I had never seen that integration of a big group of people going to the museum on a Sunday with their families. Any activity... I'm part of the board of English in Action too, and we have these immigrant stories, and I could also see one of the most amazing events in storytelling in a valley where it looked like from a major city, you know, and any cultural event that happens here, it's with a quality that the big cities envy about here. So yeah. First is that there is a lot of culture here. There is a lot, of course, of money, and it's also the community benefit from too, because there is a lot of work to do, and there is a lot of beauty with the nature. So we try to provide information about all those resources for the people. Either they are cultural, or they are economic, or commercial, or there's mm-hmm. a lot of things to share that you miss a lot. You can share only sometimes 20% of what is happening.
I know that feeling for sure. Well, we are out of time. You've been listening to Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. Up next, Inner Lives with Reverend Shauna Foster of the Two Rivers Unitarians. Thanks for tuning in.
Muchas gracias.
And thanks for you guys being here.
Thank you, Will. Thank you, Megan.
Have a good one.